In Kat Rosenfield's debut novel, Amelia Ann is Dead and Gone, we're brought into the lives of two young women who are trying to escape their circumstances. They both have bright futures, but only one has a chance to follow her dreams. Though Becca plans to move forward, she's obsessed with the mysterious death of Amelia Ann and is reevaluating everything and everyone around her.
Well, I was fascinated by the idea of two young women coming from very different places and leading very different lives, but finding themselves at a crossroads. And that's really one of the central themes of the book, is this idea that, you know, you come to a place where you're coming from has to inform where you're going, but you don't want it to do that too much, and you really have to make some decisions about what kind of person you want to become and whether in doing that you need to leave behind the person that you were. And I thought that the way that these two girls, even though they are coming from very different places, that their lives have so many parallels in their romantic relationships and their sense of sort of expectation and anticipation and, you know, fear for the future, that I wanted to explore sort of how they intersected.
There's this great line in the book, and it's, Amelia felt the desperation of such an existence, a life lived with eyes closed. And I feel, just as you described, that really lays out the feeling of both Amelia and Rebecca throughout the whole novel.
Yeah, I think that, you know, for Amelia, she has her awakening, and for Rebecca, she can actually see that sort of desperate, sad, closed and insular existence, you know, playing out right in front of her all the time because of where she is in this small town.
For both of them, you mentioned that they have these boyfriends, and it's really how both girls are able to fly without having someone hold them back. And in one case, we have one of the boyfriends understands that he has to let go while one doesn't. And he's kind of deluded in that sense in knowing, and this is in Amelia's case with Luke, that it's a picture perfect future in his mind.
Yeah, you know, and I think that it can be really terrifying, you know, in general, but I think even especially when you see a girl who's subverting expectations and claiming her destiny in a way that nobody thought she would. And that can be very threatening to people. And that's one of the, you know, unfortunate things that plays out in Amelia's story, how much her desire to break free and follow her heart and do something that she wasn't anticipated to be doing really ends up, unfortunately, causing terrible things to happen to her.
And in Rebecca's case with James, at first we think that he's one of those controlling types and that he's using her and quite cruel, but it's the opposite.
Yeah, you know, I think that it's an interesting thing to explore sort of what happens when good people do really terrible things because they're scared or because they're insecure. And their relationship was one of my favorite things to write and to explore in the book because it's so complicated, and it felt very real to me, even as I was kind of creating it.
Unlike Amelia and Luke, Rebecca and James know that there is an ending to their story, that Rebecca will, after graduation, will move on to greater and better things when she goes to college. They know that there's a period at the end of their relationship.
They do. And then I think, you know, when he sort of puts that period in a different place than she had expected and basically cuts, I mean, I think as far as she's concerned, cuts their relationship off mid-sentence, because she had this very almost cinematic idea of how it was going to end, and it was going to be so perfect and it was going to be so right. And as soon as he sort of, you know, wrested control from her and, you know, decided to, you know, put his own ending on things, it really sends her off the rails, and then, you know, she just keeps continually spinning and spinning off the rails.
And it's in their town where Amelia Ann is dead and gone, because at that point in the novel, nobody knows who this dead girl is. And so Rebecca becomes obsessed with it, and she lives in a very small town, so she had always shunned the gossip that went around, but now she just can't get enough of it.
Yeah, you know, I think that it can be very seductive, actually, that sense of, you know, having this sort of collective storytelling going on and being a part of all of that intrigue and being in the know and feeling a part of this very insular community that's very suspicious of outsiders. So in a way, it's not surprising that when you are sort of shaken off of your feet and derailed from the plans that you thought you had for yourself, you would seek safety, even if it's kind of a gross safety that you previously felt that you were very above, but it's at least something you know.
And also she's feeling a shift in her place in that small town because they know that she will move on to greater things. She's sort of being pushed out and not confided in because they know you're no longer an insider, but they're kind of viewing her, even her friends are, as an outsider.
Yeah, I think that, Becca in certain ways has always been an outsider. She's always felt that she doesn't really fit in and that she doesn't really belong, and she's never been interested in it. But then at the point at which she becomes so fascinated with this dead body and wants to sort of make her way back into that inner circle that she never was truly a part of before, it doesn't work for her because she's basically a ghost to these people. They've counted on her disappearing, and nobody's interested in renegotiating their idea of what's in store for her.
It's interesting how you write about this small town life and how it's so close-knit, and how even with her friend Lindsay, and how there are others there that are just content to stay. They know that they grew up there and they will live there and have their children there. And the cycle continues on where there are all these people on the peripheral that they're just kind of like, okay. It's very hard for one to kind of break in to that community.
Yes, you know, I grew up in a small town, not entirely unlike the town in the book, and that's certainly something that I think is very identifiable. You have this feeling of not fitting in, of, you know, being more a bystander than a participant in kind of the workings and the machine of the town. And then, feeling very torn at a certain point between desperately wanting to fit in and desperately wanting to move on and get away from it and not allow it to suck you back in.
And then we have Craig, whose father grew up there, and he was able to get out, as Becca refers to it. But his son, Craig, has come back to take care of his grandmother, and then he kind of becomes a fixture there as well, but in a weird way.
Yes, he was an interesting character for me to write, because I loved the idea of somebody who was an outsider becoming an insider in kind of a way that's never accessible to Becca, because essentially she's not wily or manipulative or cruel enough to realize the power that she could have over that situation or to want to take advantage of it, whereas he really does. He sees the possibilities of being kind of a, you know, minor king in this very small place.
Aside from the story of Rebecca and Amelia's parallel lives, you also have Becca's family, and it's, I don't want to say they're on the peripheral because they aren't, but in Becca's mind, they're just kind of there. She knows there's some issues going on, but she's so consumed with Amelia's mysterious death that she kind of removed herself from her own family.
Yes, I mean, at the same time, her parents are sort of withdrawing from her life in a way that I think probably seems very healthy to them. I think that's actually a natural thing to have happen at that age and at that moment where, you know, parents want to allow their children to sort of become who they are and focus on the future and not feel bogged down by their inclusion in this family and sort of, you know, look to what's happening outside of it. And at the same time, it's very natural for a teenager at that age to start, you know, to be very forward and very outward looking and to not necessarily concern themselves so much with what's happening in the walls of their own house. For Becca, of course, she feels so incredibly misunderstood and so in crisis and unable to articulate what she's feeling that it, I think, you know, really brings up a lot of barriers between her and her family that wouldn't have even normally existed.
Even though Amelia is the title character, I feel that we get a much bigger glimpse into Becca's life. Did you feel a particular pull towards one character than another?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I certainly identify a great deal with Becca because of where she's coming from and her background and her feelings of sort of being a fish out of water in this place that's very inclusive and very kind of isolated. But I think there's also, I mean, there's probably a lot of me in many, many characters in the book. But I, you know, I think I definitely identified more with Becca Amelia. So even, you know, at 21 or 22, she's so confident in a way that I don't think I actually was at that age. So.
She is very confident. And I love how they play off of each other, of having Amelia be that confident person, whereas Becca's confidence is faltering.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Amelia in certain ways represents the kind of person Becca could have become. And instead, she ends up being one of the things that really stops Becca in her tracks and has her floundering and casting about and not really knowing what to do with herself.
Well, this is an amazing novel. The name of it is Amelia Ann is Dead and Gone. Kat, thank you so much for taking the time and speaking with us.
Oh, thank you very much. It was a blast.
Again, the name of Kat Rosenfield's novel is Amelia Ann is Dead and Gone. It is published by Dutton. You can meet Rosenfield and several other YA authors this Sunday at Oblong Books in Rhinebeck, New York at 4 p.m. For more information and to RSVP, you can visit their website, oblongbooks.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. I ran away from you.